May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our strength and Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. There's a lot of verses or groupings of words, however you want to say, that kind of gets your heart, gets your attention. And one that I'd like to focus on eventually is what Paul said. Jesus Christ has made me his own. And before I really start the sermon, I'd like to say that's the good news. And not just for Paul, for each and every one of us. Just think about it. Jesus Christ has made us his own. There is no better gift in the world than that. Jesus Christ making us his own. And if that doesn't change our hearts, I don't know what would. Because that's the best gift in the world. Jesus making us his own. Jesus bringing us back to God. Jesus reconciling us to God and each other. What a gift. And Paul got it. The other thing that I have to admit is true is the first line in the call. Almighty God, and here it is. You alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. And that's the truth. Anybody perfect in the congregation? I doubt it. We all sin. I sin. Anybody else? Nobody else sins? I see four. Oh, there we go. Okay, we don't want to be too shy. Because it's okay, we have Jesus. Jesus did make us our own, so boom, we're sinners, that's it. But what I like about the whole grouping of lessons, Paul, Mary, ourselves, it's all about our inner being, our inner motivations, our inner intentions. Do we love Jesus? Do we want to serve him or do we want to serve ourselves? Do we appreciate Jesus Christ? Do we trust him? Do we have faith in him? And then after all of that, really from the heart, do we love the Lord? Are we in love with our Savior? I would say we're working on it. We're working on it. Now, with Paul, at first it doesn't sound too humble, but really, after he tells everything, he is humble. Just kind of sounds a little bit arrogant at first. But the first group he was very proud, and it shows how much he really did go beyond. You know what our pilgrimage call is about? Going beyond our comfort zone. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have even more. Doesn't sound humble, but it really was. He was proud of what he was at first, but then he wasn't so proud. He was circumcised on the eighth day. That might not mean a lot to us, but that's very important for a Jew. He was a member of the people of Israel. They were very proud people. They are God's chosen because they listened to him and they knew he existed. They were the first ones. Now we're the new Israel, so we can be proud too. But he was an Israelite. And then even better than that, he was a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was the youngest. That was the best of the best, the elite Hebrew and Jew. And he was born a Jew by Jews, okay? His mom and his dad. As to the law, he was a Pharisee, which means he was very learned, very instructed. He was a brilliant man. As to zeal, he was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, mind you, he says under the law, he was absolutely blameless because he followed the law. But that's not it. That's not all we're called to do. And wow, what a change of heart he had once he met Jesus. Think about it. He was a persecutor of the church at first. He was a murderer. He went around zealous. Really, he was into killing those Christians. He went from that to one of the greatest apostles, prolific in writing and following what Jesus said to do and loving him and knowing that all he had before was garbage. It wasn't worth anything. It was Jesus that had value for him. It was Jesus, the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. That's what was important. And when he says, I suffered loss of all things, the words kind of roll off, but you know what that means for him? When he became a Christian, when he started to follow the Lord, when he started to live for Christ, he lost all of his friends. He was disowned. He lost all of his family. He lost his home. He really lost everything. And he didn't go into a happy, like, fun-filled church. Those people didn't trust him. He was murdering them just before. But he had faith and trust in God. He had faith and trust in Jesus. And he just kept going, pressing on to the goal. He was not about to give up. Now the other one, love from the heart, knowing the value of Jesus, is Mary. Each gospel is a little bit different, but this basic story is in every gospel. And Mary took the nard, the perfume that was made from pure, like flowers, nard. I think it's from the Himalayas, the foothills of the Himalayas, but don't quote me on that one. But she anointed him with that. That was her gift to him. Why? Because of her appreciation for who Jesus was. He was her Lord and Savior. He brought her closer to God, and she had faith and trust in him. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. She absolutely loved him and adored him as her Redeemer and her friend and her Savior. Judas, at first, cynics might say, well, yeah, but Judas had a point. They should have taken the perfume and sold it. No. What's the motivation? The motivation and the inner intention of Mary was showing her affection, her trust, her love, her consolation, her comfort for him. He knew what was coming in another week or so. Judas, what was his motivation? Money. Greed. He wanted the money for himself. He didn't care about comforting anyone, not Jesus, especially not the poor. He was interested in himself. And so what happens? Jesus says to him, leave her alone. Those words of love and protection must have meant the world to her, and they are to mean the world to us. Because that's what Jesus tells all of our enemies. Leave her or leave him alone. They are mine. They belong to me. Nothing will take Jesus' love or God's love away from us. Nothing we do, nothing that anybody else does. We cannot be separated from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Judas wasn't sincere. Mary was. Paul was. Isaiah, all of us, I have faith in us. We're sincere. Are we perfect? No. But if we love God, with all of our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength, what we prayed this morning, if we just do that, we can grow in Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to use us today and every day. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible, that those people took time to write it down, and that it's been passed on to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, and to give us strength. We also thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that comforts us, excites us, and encourages us to be Jesus, little Christ in the world. And mostly, Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, that willingly died to save us and loves us no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.